Hi, my name is Kevin Craig, and I'd like to invite you to join me in celebrating the 95 days of Christmas. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I've heard of the 12 days of Christmas, but I don't think I've ever heard of the 95 days of Christmas. And I have to admit, I just made it up. But let me explain where the number 95 comes from, and let me explain to you why, if you join me in this 95-day celebration, I think your next Christmas will be the most meaningful Christmas in your life, and that possibly the next 95 days might be the time of the greatest personal transformation in your life that you've ever experienced, completely changing the way you look at the world, and certainly the way you look at Christmas. Think for a moment about the message of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas. One way to describe that meaning of Christmas is to look in the account of Christmas by Luke in his gospel, where the angels said to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among men in whom he is well pleased." The King James doesn't quite capture the meaning of the passage there. Just like in the Sermon on the Mount, you may recall Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." And in Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus then also said, "But woe to you rich." And Mary, when she first heard about the message of Christmas, she was talking about how God was going to overthrow the rich. So there's an interesting social dimension to Christmas. Now, I'm certainly not saying that all poor people are pleasing to God and all rich people displease God. But there is this distinction between the goats and the sheep. And the message of Christmas is peace on earth among those with whom God is well pleased. And so the question you might be asking is, well, do I please God? Is God pleased with me? And that's sort of where the 95 days of Christmas begins, is looking at that question, what do I have to do? Who do I have to be to please God? One thing we see in the Gospels is that people please God if they are good and faithful servants. That is, if they believe what God says and then act responsibly and obey God. But Martin Luther had some ideas about this question, about what we have to do to please God. And he wrote up some propositions and said, let's have a debate about these propositions. There were 95 propositions. They're also called 95 theses. He posted them on the door of a cathedral in Germany, which is the traditional way of inaugurating a debate among scholars there at the cathedral. And his 95 propositions, his 95 theses, started a major revolution, really, a complete social, political, ecclesiastical, theological reformation, revolution. It split the church. Hundreds of millions of people really have been affected by Luther's 95 theses, and even national borders were rearranged based on how kings and princes chose to align themselves with the 95 theses. So incredibly important, and yet most of the products of United States government school system have never even read these 95 propositions, these 95 theses, don't understand the history, don't understand the significance. In 1892, the United States Supreme Court said that the United States was a Christian nation. Well, it was more than a Christian nation, it was a Protestant nation. In fact, almost every state in the first decades after the Constitution was ratified, and for 100 years before that, most states, probably all states at one time, did not allow Catholics to become office holders because they said Catholics were loyal to a foreign power. And more than that, they were loyal to a foreign monarch. And America was based not on a monarchical system of government, which the Catholic Church is with its Pope, but a republican form of government, which they got from the Protestant Reformation. In fact, some people have said that John Calvin was the real founder of America. So if you're an American like I am, it should be of some concern or interest to you to have studied at one time the 95 theses of Martin Luther that he nailed to the church door now about 500 years ago. 1517, I think, was the year. And so we're going to celebrate the 95 days of Christmas by starting with Luther's 95 Theses. And then I've taken the liberty, perhaps in a conceited kind of way, to write 95 Theses of my own. 95 Theses on Christmas. 95 Theses not on the shepherds in the field and the swaddling clothes and the manger and all those Christmas themes, but 95 Theses on the meaning, the social and political implications of Christmas. The angels said one of the meaning of Christmas was peace on earth. And as we saw, or I just briefly alluded to, Mary, when she was told that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, she talked about political thrones and so forth. There's a lot of political implications to Christmas. So I've drafted 95 theses, 95 propositions, a bit more lengthy than the simple sentences of Martin Luther's 95 theses, but 95 propositions on the social and political implications of Christmas. And I take my cue from Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams was known as the father of the American Revolution. One thing he did to agitate and convince Americans to declare their independence from Britain was he sent out letters to all the town halls in America, and he used a network of communication known as the Committees of Correspondence. And the first letter he wrote through these Committees of Correspondence, he urged Americans to remember three things, to have three goals, if you will. And if I can paraphrase his words, but really capture the essence of the three main functions or goals of that first letter he wrote through the Committees of Correspondence, Samuel Adams said we should all want to be extraordinary Americans, extraordinary Christians, and extraordinary human beings. George Washington, when he addressed the troops, told them that in addition to being good patriots, we ought to, it's more important really, to be good Christians. When he told the Delaware Indians who wanted to be more like Americans, he said, well, you need to learn our arts and our ways of life, but more importantly, you need to learn the religion of Jesus Christ. So my goal for you and the goal of the 95 Days of Christmas is peace on earth and for you to be one of those in whom God is well pleased. That message of the angels, peace on earth among men in whom he, among whom God is well pleased. You don't want to be one of those that God is not pleased with. And so that's one of the real purposes undergirding this 95 Days of Christmas. The third thing we're going to do through the next 95 Days of Christmas is read the Bible. Read the whole Bible from cover to cover. Well, not exactly from cover to cover, but we're going to read everything in the Bible. And mostly we're going to read it in a chronological order. But we're going to also start with the Christmas narratives, the Christmas story, the Christmas accounts. Some people have reported remarkable results, powerful transformations by reading the Bible just like you would read a Harry Potter book, in the sense that you read it continuously, you dedicate to it, you focus on it, and you don't just read a little bit here, a little bit there, or once a week on Sunday, but read it thoroughly and continuously and in a period of about 90 days, as you would if you're really dedicated to reading some other book. We've got a link on the webpage you're looking at right now to a website that talks about reading the Bible in 90 days. We'll help you do that. And this is also a program where you don't just read stuff, but this is a program that gives you an opportunity to interact. This is a program where we have a discussion, where we have a conversation about the implications of Christmas and about peace on earth. It sounds simple, in a sense, reading Luther's 95 propositions, 95 theses, and then 95 additional theses on what we call them the vine and fig tree theses. George Washington's favorite verses in the Bible were the many verses, and most Christians are not aware of these verses, but there are quite a few verses in the Bible that talk about everyone dwelling safely under his own vine and fig tree. And that's sort of the meaning of Christmas when you think about it. Peace on earth means everyone dwelling safely under his own vine and fig tree. And so we're calling our theses, our 95 theses, the vine and fig tree theses. And so we've got Luther's 95 theses, we've got our vine and fig tree theses, and then reading the Bible through from cover to cover in 95 days. And it seems like a simple thing, but actually, I think you're just going to be totally blown away at how different this is going to be, how life-changing this can be if you focus and dedicate some prayerful thought to what we're going to be talking about. The message of Christmas is really revolutionary. It changes everything. It changes the whole world. It's had a tremendous impact. We really fail to even think about how violent and barbaric life was before Christ, and how life has been already transformed immeasurably. The apostles, the people who lived in Jesus' day, would be astonished to see how you live today. They would compare life under a brutal, despotic emperor under the Roman Empire and compare it with the relative freedom that you have today. After Jesus was put to death, after he was executed by the empire, the disciples, who at one time had high hopes for what Jesus was going to do, they were broken and despondent. They were not characterized by optimism. And yet now, 2,000 years later, Christianity covers the globe, except for a few barbaric countries, but there are two billion people who are now, in some sense, identify themselves as Christians. And that's extraordinary, something the apostles couldn't even have imagined. Although I think it's notable that in the days when the United States Supreme Court could say that America was a Christian nation, we have since, our court, our nation, our government, the federal government in Washington, D.C., has seen fit to say, no, we're not a Christian nation, we're a secular nation, we're a diverse nation, and as a result, we're a more warlike nation. And I think the founding fathers of America would be very depressed if they could see how far we've retreated from the things they fought for. You remember the Boston Tea Party, and we got a Tea Party movement today. Well, the original Boston Tea Party involved a tax of 3 pence per pound of tea. Ben Franklin said Americans only drank about 10 pounds of tea a year, and today we have a tax that's 10 times as large on every gallon of gas that we buy, and we buy a whole lot more than 10 gallons of gas a year. And there's a shocking decline in the growth of tyranny and the decline of liberty. At least that's what I think America's founding fathers would say if they could travel through time and visit America today. And yet still, the path of history from that first Christmas has been generally upward, and I'd like to think that if we start thinking about what it means to be an extraordinary American, an extraordinary Christian, and an extraordinary human being, that we can change the course of America and even change the course of the world and move us once again in a more toward the meaning of Christmas. So really, I think this will be a totally transformational event these next 95 days. And it doesn't matter whether it's April or August or October or 2 days before or after Christmas. Any time of the year is a good time to think about the meaning of Christmas, because it's the central event in human history. And it's it's a paradigm, it's the archetype, it's the organizing focus of human existence. We'll see just how significant this is, and I'm trying to sell you on signing up for this program, but you really can't appreciate the program unless you spend 95 days digging into the real message of Christmas. So I'd like to invite you to sign up. You can unsubscribe with just one or two clicks. It's no problem. We won't use your we won't sell or rent or give your email address to spammers or anything like that. You simply receive every day an email which will have a link to a web page that has an audio file just like you're listening to right now, which will have the 95 Theses of Martin Luther, our 95 Vine and Fig Tree Theses, and then a reading through the Bible verses of the day. And after 95 days, if you're not absolutely astonished at your transformation in thinking, and if you also, during that 95 days, don't enjoy what the Bible describes as iron sharpening iron. In other words, if you have disagreements, if you have questions, if you have comments, let's engage in a conversation. I'm planning to have live webinars where we can get together. We can also do Skype calls. There's all kinds of opportunities. There's opportunities for you to drop your comments or questions, to post on the web pages that you'll be sent to with each day's email. This can be an extraordinary adventure for you. So I really hope you'll sign up, give it a try. And I hope you'll enjoy spending the next 95 days with me as we think about the meaning of Christmas. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you'll sign up, give it a try. And if you can support the work of this campaign, and you'll learn more about the campaign that we're engaged in to promote peace on earth and liberty under God, well, that would be great too. So again, my name is Kevin Craig. Nice to meet you. I hope to see you and get to know you more in our discussion, our comments, our blog comments, and our live webinars. And I hope you'll sign up at the bottom of this page. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you as soon as you send in your email address.